Connecting community as well-being guardians, this is Angels of Queerdom. Some say that true angels don't have wings or gender, so chances are you've graced us in passing. I'm Claudia, calling in from the haze to check in with heavenly beings on their headspace. Today I'm chatting with Leon, pronouns they, them, a non-binary person, about dysphoria. When we say dysphoria, we mean gender dysphoria. Sound familiar? Listen in. This content contains conversation about dysphoria, anti-homo and anti-trans hate. So if you'd like to tune out, go rest those wings. Half of trans people have hidden their identity at work for fear of discrimination. Leon, beam through.
Inspired you?
I think that it's my value. And it sounds really depressing that I've only just like found it. But I think like I've always had a pretty good regard for myself. But like just knowing your value, knowing that you're worthy, that you have so much to give to people and this world is just, it's so freeing.
That's exactly everything I need to hear.
You know, that I have so much knowledge and I've experienced things and I have so much empathy for all for so many things, and
it's a lot. Like, that's great. Like, it's a lot to realize and a lot to hold, but it's good stuff. Like, that self-worth and that self-value, it takes time. Like, and when you can start having empathy for yourself, I think it's a lot easier to see the world and everything around us.
Yeah, definitely.
That's like a great thing to learn. Yeah, wow. What about such an inspiring teaching to kick off the call?
Thank you. I feel like when I finally realised that just everything's kind of like falling into place, and I don't have everything worked out, and I'm not perfect, but like I know, just it makes everything much freer, and like I'm just so much freer in my mind to new experiences and new ways of thinking. And that you can, you know, that and by being that positive energy, you can open like hearts to others.
And like, yeah, definitely. You're really that positive energy is beaming right through. So, Leon, you're currently training to be an art psychotherapist and you make films.
Yeah.
And recently watched your film called Elephant, which shows a lot of personal development. It's very... it's very surreal, and it's got quite like this dark and light tone in terms of the emotions. It's kind of like pinging you between... and you say that through this, you've gained a profound self-awareness. Like, tell me more about your film process.
I get a lot of inspiration through, like, horror films and, like classic gothic. And I kind of try to use that kind of, like, old style of like, shooting to kind of, like, build up an atmosphere and build up a tension within the audience. And I want it to, I want the imagery to kind of, it could speak so many things, and it just depends on who's watching what they'll get from it. I think it's also very like cathartic and therapeutic for me in doing this. doing these things, when I'm acting out different scenarios in the performances, and then also in the editing process where I'm like bringing it all together, and chopping and changing and making it how I envisioned it, is just like, just get this like profound sense of like feeling kind of like you've let something go.
Given
a part of yourself to the world, but then also that like you've kind of put something into something really good and meaningful.
Wow, Leon, that is so profound to hear, and it's so interesting because I feel like I have a really similar process when I make my films. You used to being the actor in your film as well as the creator and the editor. So
yes,
it becomes like this whole enfolding thing of like you taking on different roles to make this film about your identity. And then when you've made the film, it's like this new layer of your identity has been born. And it's like now you're born, it's a thing and it's a process that others can watch. We've got this filmmaker thing going on in Filmmakers We Trust. Yeah. Like expressing growth through our art, I think is such a freeing way of documenting our progress and our existence. Do you find like documenting your progress as a person is validating or brings you warmth, or what does it do for you?
Oh yeah, both. Yeah, but like it's validating in that, you know, that those emotions that I feel in that intensity, it's valid, and you know, and that is an experience that I've had to.
You write about dysphoria and you make beautiful films about your journey, about feeling dysphoric. So what do you mean when you say dysphoria? And how do you define it for yourself? How do you... for your journey? Is it undescribable?
Yes, in so many ways. And I think it's just like... I think it's no person can ever feel dysphoria the same way. And it feels very much like walking in the dark sometimes. Some days things that I'm dysphoric about might go up and down, and they might change, and that's okay, because my identity is always the same as a non-binary person, but my gender expression fluctuates, and so I think that's sometimes why I feel feeling doubtful about transition, or I'm feeling kind of lost in kind of like gendered spaces, and like feeling like just feeling different, and that like not many people like have this experience, or that people try to empathize, but that it's hard to kind of like, it's hard to imagine
from the spaces that we're presented in kind of like mainstream, in society where we're not in our homes, there are all these gender roles and gender norms, and sometimes in our homes as well, and sometimes still inside us. And it's this, I think for me, dysphoria feels like it is unknown territory, therefore a challenge, but it also feels occasionally like my truest self, because it is like an angelic state. It feels like you are kind of like who you're meant to be when I'm feeling dysphoric. I'm feeling I'm sometimes feeling more creative if I'm feeling like that. Because I think the binaries are ultimately restrictive and constrained. Yes. So it's like a double-edged sword. Like, it hurts to be feeling dysphoric and feeling like different from other people, but it also hurts to... It's a happy state in a way where you can be free to express yourself more, where you're creating space for yourself, where you're just being yourself. I think so.
Yeah, it's kind of like the rawest part of yourself in like so many ways, and like where you can like kind of sit with those feelings and learn so much about yourself, and gain so much strength from that. Yeah.
I think that's, so stepping away from those constraints and those boxes and those binaries ultimately is like our liberated selves coming out, but there's the barriers in the way. The barriers in the way just keep on coming. So, like, where did your journey to queerdom begin, Leon? When did you realise you were queer, or did you realise you wanted to transition as a first thought, or what? Like, where did it start?
I first came out as lesbian when I was 19.
Yeah, 16, but yeah, come on, same age.
And that's where it kind of started. I knew many years before then, but I just didn't come out. I lived and was happy identifying as a lesbian until I was about 25. I did a lot of personal growth around that time. I've always known that there was something not quite right, and when I started kind of like trying out different things and kind of questioning things and trying to be more of what I felt comfortable in rather than what people wanted me to be, I found that I definitely didn't identify as female. And then from there, kind of just explore that. I kind of, you know, played around with different pronouns and different names. In 2017, I went to the doctor and came out to a few close friends as a trans man. Then like later in 2018, I came out to everybody. My parents, I started my first job as Leon, and was going by he, him pronouns, like openly for the first time.
What's that feel like was this like a year ago, you said?
This was in 2018, and then obviously that I lived that truth. So I came out, people were really supportive and accepting, in my new job and like my new friends that I've made, and my sibling. But as I lived that truth, I realised. Thank you. As I lived it, I realised that. That I am more, that I'm not within the binary, and that my, even though I'm happy definitely presenting more masculine, that actually, like, my identity is non-binary, and wow. I feel much more comfortable in that. And when I think about that, and I think about myself, that just fits me, And I've got like people saying that, you know, people will say, no, it does really suit you. And kind of that they, not that that's important, but it is really validating.
Right. Yeah. I feel that's important for people. Definitely.
Yeah.
So, was it hard? Yeah. Was it hard coming out as a trans man after coming out as lesbian? Was it hard coming out as a non-binary person for you?
Yes. So my experience coming out as lesbian was really positive. I did a few people. I did lose a few friends, and my parents weren't very supportive in the beginning. But as time went on, and I when I found my first relationship, and they saw that I was happy, I think that's when they like they could see that the difference within me. And and ultimately that's what they want. So and the perspective really changed, and they've become a lot more more accepting and open. But coming out as trans has really affected like my parents' relationship. And they don't support me in that right. at all. So they won't use the pronouns or my name, or kind of accept how I wanted to identify, or maybe the changes that I may make in the future.
Right, yeah. It's kind of like this anti-transness that is so seeped in that, you know, it shows the progression of coming out. Because I also, I didn't have the best time when I came out as lesbian. But I definitely think, I haven't even told my parents that I identify as non-binary now. But, like, I think their opinion would be different, like you say, if I told them I wanted to transition. And I think that's this archaic, very prevalent anti-transness that is still very much in society. And that discrimination is why trans kids aren't safe. It's why our trans brothers and sisters are still getting killed. I think there's a lot of work to be done in society to protect trans people and to educate other people who don't seem to get it on how happy we are and our joy and our futures, and that it's really not any different to coming out as lesbian or gay or being any person.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, I think that there's still a lot of progression to the world needs to do to protect trans lives, for sure.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, did you always know, like, when you were, like, before, like, when you were younger, when you were younger, when, look at us, we're both young. did you know when you were a kid? Because I remember feeling like I should be a boy when I was, like, helping my dad build the house by, like, passing him bricks. And I used to like doing the boy things. But then, yeah, it's kind of like a different form of dysphoria at that age. It's kind of like I just didn't understand why I can do boys things, basically.
Yeah. I've had a very similar experience where I just wanted to be a boy. Yeah. luckily, I did have. It was great. Like, I got to do a lot of the things that I wanted to do. And to be honest, before puberty hit, I didn't really think about my gender. I was friends with all boys, and I was doing all the things that, you know, I wanted to do, and that was great.
Yeah, you feel like constrained away from doing the things that you wanted to do. That's good. That's really good. So, Leon, as you know, we've lost a lot of trans angels lately, fallen angels to anti-transness. Rest in peace, Ellie, Tony. The list is far too long. So this discrimination that we get as queers, and this seemingly inherent anti-transness in society, how does it affect our health? I mean, like, I've been seeing loads of stuff on, like, a hyper amount of stuff about death on social media lately. In terms of, like, our mental health, is it, like, triggering?
Yeah, like, it definitely affects mental health. And I think that if you are identifying under the trans umbrella at all, and the way that our society is, and the transphobia that is inherent in our society, your mental health is already affected. And with, you know, the recent deaths of particularly the black trans women that have been killed in America, it makes people scared to live their lives, to not come out or delay transitioning, or to be able to go to work and have a job and live a good life.
To just live life and to be healthy and happy.
Yes.
It really is that, basically. And I think not knowing that, like, your identity could affect your health and happiness and longevity. This information is out there in the statistics. It's out there already, and I find it really frustrating for the lack of passion for direct action, but the lack of movement at all from people in power. In fact, they're nurturing this anti-transness to propel. So I find it makes me angry. a lot of rage, and then compressing of rage, like, I'm kind of folding it into my heart a little bit, and then also tears. So I think it is, yeah, for me, it's for the stats and the anti-homo and anti-transness that is forever ongoing and continuously in the news, is constantly triggering. It's like we're constantly on some form of edge.
Yes. And it's like our lives are always up for debate, that our existence is up for debate, and how can we, by being ourselves and being authentic, we inspire others. And it's sad to think that some people won't be their authentic selves because of this, like, of our toxic society. Particularly, like, social media, and how it's always there, and that it's become like just kind of everyday kind of like transphobic and homophobic comments have been, like, come, like, part of just, like, daily scrolling.
It's like the more information, because there's, like, a endless, infinite amount of information on the internet. Like, as queers, we're following, like, all the queer news pages. So, like, we're seeing all the information about the trans deaths, like, way, 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 way more often than someone who isn't seeing any of this media. It never makes it to... I mean, they're never going to put it in the main newspapers. The most popular newspaper in this country is still The Sun, for crying out loud. Like, if The Sun wants to do something good, they can start protecting trans lives and start publishing the truth on that. Like, it doesn't really make it to the mainstream news, and that shows how little trans are devalued in our spaces, in broadcasting, in publishing, in politics. Like, it's not even a debate, like you say.
Yeah.
But it seems to be, you know, this queer fight, this fight for lives, it's on us to fight for it, isn't it? Because we're the only ones that seem to be, well, and allies, trying to do anything about it. It's really sad, actually. Because, like, I think the media we see is the social media. That's such a small amount of the news. There's all the channels of news. There's all the newspapers. There's all the magazines. There's all the zines. There's all the YouTube channels. There's all the TikToks. There's so many different ways in which people receive news. But trans lives should be valued enough to for this to be main news. And until it's sorted, until those cops who did the thing are arrested, until whatever needs to be done for this to stop happening, it's the most frustrating thing.
Yes.
And so, on a lighter note, Leon, how do you like to rest your wings?
I like just watching Netflix and meeting new people, going out and socialising. I enjoy playing rugby.
Sport and mental health—that's a good one. Like, the are you competitive? Is it like more of a social?
Very, very much for the social side. I enjoy the game, but I'm a proper amateur.
Oh, you know, you're probably better than me. So what can we all do to help people in Angels of Queerdom through dysphoria? Because it feels like this is a feeling that's probably going to stay. It's kind of like a constantly pushing progressive thought and way of being, but there's a load of barriers in a way which can become quite detrimental to our mental health. So what do you think all people could do to help support others?
I think about being like more open and kind of like looking into things, you know, if there's a question that you think that maybe that you don't really want to ask an individual, and maybe like do some research, but on a wide range of sources, and like as well, like respecting boundaries, but like asking questions. Obviously with depending on if that person's open into answering them. But yeah, I think that's and just being more aware and kind of being more accountable for, you know, that maybe people were, not aware of the difficulties that a lot of trans people will face, and that you know that maybe they could do more to help, or you know that they could be a better ally in some way.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great message. I think, really, though, I think, in my opinion, the people who know about anti-transness are the trans people. The people who know about how they want to be cared about is that individual person. So, like you said, like being able to ask questions and have discussion with people can form a trust and a friendship to actually be an ally. Like, hopefully, people who are like listening are somewhat used to like introducing themselves with pronouns, and which I did in the introduction. What do you think about that? Do you think that's a good way to start a conversation?
Yes, I think that should just become really like just normal. That you should never, that depending on somebody's like gender expression, like in that particular moment, you shouldn't just presume somebody's identity. I think that and normalizing that. By by offering your pronouns, you're like, kind of meeting someone on an equal and respected footing.
So it's like, I'll just be like, hi, I'm Claudia, my pronouns are she, they, and I identify as lesbian and I'm MB, but I guess I'm just giving that last bit as extra information. What about you?
I'm Leon. I identify as non-binary. My pronouns are they, them, he, him.
Amazing. That's how you do it, everybody. So, as you can see, that was really easy. That's a good way of, like, starting a conversation, I think, to just try and show that you have some kind of solidarity for that kind of dysphoria that we're talking about. So, as a heavenly guide, Leon, what do you want to deliver on dysphoria for all the angels listening? For all there might be younger trans people listening, younger non-binary people listening, anyone in that umbrella. Have you got any heavenly advice?
Yes. I think, especially when I was first coming to terms with my identity and just kind of working out what feels good for me, I think it's, I just want my message to be that it's, you know, it's okay to have doubts and have bad times and for things to change, and that it doesn't have to, you can try things out and it doesn't matter if it doesn't work out. And your experience is your own experience and you are valid. And there is no one way to experience dysphoria. That is personal to you. And it doesn't make you any less trans, non-binary, gender fluid for wanting things outside of what maybe somebody else would confine within those categories, because at the end of the day, it's a label, which can be really empowering to people in the trans and LGBT community, but they can also be really containing and restrictive. And I think it's just about branching out and being more open-minded.
Preach, Leon, preach!
Just being better allies to our own trans brothers and sisters and non-binary individuals, because we're going through difficult things, and you know they have a big impact on us, and we should be supporting each other. So Don't let anybody ever tell you how to be trans or how to be non-binary or whatever is happening in society and what you're seeing on social media, you are loved, you are respected, you are valid.
Leon, that is such a beautiful message. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Leon, this has been really, really lovely. Thank you so much for calling. You're a literal angel on earth as it is in heaven. Shall we check in again soon to see how we're both doing in Angels of Queerdom?
Yes, I'd love that.
Oh, amazing. Keep shining your story out there, Leon. Good luck.
Thank you for joining us on Angels of Queerdom,
a community well-being radio show brought to you by
Diversity Radio. Download the Diversity Radio app for 24/7 broadcasting of diverse listening from the grassroots.
If you've been affected by the show and want to discuss, don't hesitate to get in touch via the Angels of Queerdom Instagram page at Angels of Queerdom.
Check out the NHS website for mental health advice, support, and services for LGBTQ people.
If you're struggling to cope right now, call Samaritans on 116 123. Lines are open every day, 24/7.
Thank you to all our guests and contributors.
We hope you have a blessed day. And we look forward to you joining us next time on Angels of Queerdom.
Shed light. Stay bright. Go high. Shed light. Stay bright. Go high.